Man, we are seriously gutted on that news about Deshaun Watson. He has been such a fun story in a year where it feels like there haven't been a lot of fun stories in the NFL. Normally, we start out the third hour, hey, dude, this sucks, man. This is brutal. I feel so bad for that team. I feel so bad for that young man. He has been playing tremendous football. You can't win the MVP, I think, in the NFL when your team is not performing particularly well. But, damn, he would have been in the conversation if he had kept this pace up till the end of the year. In my eyes, hands down, he was Rookie of the Year.
He started slowly, but he's found such a groove.
He could still be Rookie of the Year, but gosh, if you miss what Chris Verla said, if you just missed our last few minutes there, that 1 o'clock hour, Deshaun Watson, they're saying he may have suffered a torn ACL in practice. Torn ACLs are very easy to diagnose for doctors on the surface. They just, you know, torn ACLs and torn Achilles. It's very, very easy for them to assess. So I'm assuming that this news didn't get out without a proper evaluation. The MRI is coming to confirm, man. Just absolutely brutal. Feels so bad for Deshaun Watson. Welcome into the third of 5 hours of the Lowdown. Doug Christie is going to join us at 3 o'clock. We're going to go all the way until 5 when the Bills take on the Jets in New York for Thursday night football. Spent a great deal of time already talking about the Astros winning their first World Series in franchise history. Had a great conversation with Jessica Mendoza. Spent a lot of time talking about the Sacramento Kings as well as they come off losing their sixth in a row, sitting at 1-7 now. They've lost six in a row. Weren't competitive last night against Boston. And to be fair, that's Boston's sixth win in a row. And they, you know, we haven't spent any time talking about the Celtics. We need to give them some credit because they found them. They got themselves in a pretty good groove after getting over the initial shock of the first 5 minutes of the NBA season, losing the second game, which was the second night of a back-to-back, and then they haven't lost since. They haven't looked back.
Yeah, and look good.
So we'll get into the NBA again. In fact, Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings is going to join us at 2:30. We're happy to bring in our fantasy football expert and host of the Fantasy Football Hour, the nationally syndicated Fantasy Football Hour, Nate Lundy. Nate, we're gutted on this news regarding Deshaun Watson. I'm sure you are, too. I don't want to get into a fantasy talk just yet, but man, that kid has been playing so good this year.
Well, and I'll tell you what, guys, that it tells you that, you know, you're sitting there in Sacramento, I'm sitting here in Denver, I know people all over the country, and everybody, it's like a gut punch to them, even beyond the fantasy football. I mean, he's been such a great story this year in terms of how he's performed, the fact that he's brought this team up. I mean, I'm the same way. It was just a gut punch as soon as I saw Ian Rappaport's news that apparently that's what happened to him, the torn ACL in practice today, because he has been so much fun. And when you had a team that, you know, we saw, you know, J.J. Watt go down, all of that, you sit back and you go, gosh, you know, what, isn't it nice that they're still in the conversation as being a playoff potential team, even with all those injuries, and now they get bit by the bug, it sounds like, again.
Yeah, I just look at, I mean, the way he's played, the game this last weekend, I think, is the one that stands out to everybody. I think about the game in New England where he was brilliant and Brady saved the day, but last week in Seattle, and he just seems to be getting better, Nate, and for it to be non-contact, that's just, he was playing so well. You're right, the gut punch is probably the best phrase, but I think everybody was just enjoying watching him develop and develop so quickly.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's been a fun, you know, that's part of the story. I think that, you know, we as sports fans, you know, outside of whatever our rooting interest is, whatever team that we follow, we always find ourselves rooting for kind of that underdog or that story. I mean, here you had Deshaun Watson where people were really torn on whether or not he would translate into an NFL quarterback. Some people thought he could. Some people thought he couldn't. Some people said, hey, don't underestimate the heart. And I think that the heart is what we saw a lot of here early on in the season was that, you know, in addition to his football skills, he bust his butt. You know, he practiced hard. He worked hard. He was, you know, by every indication, just, you know, sort of humble and enjoying the journey. And it is really just another kick for Houston, who's coming off of such an amazing high last night.
Yeah, what a 24 hours for the city of Houston, man. So, yeah, if you just missed this, Deshaun Watson appears to have torn his ACL in practice. Obviously, he'll be out the remainder of the year. I assume the Macho Man, Tommy Savage, will be the quarterback moving forward. for the Texans. The trade deadline is just passed. You know, there is a free agent quarterback out there, but we won't get into that conversation right
now. Yeah, that'll take us down a nasty rabbit hole. Let's avoid that one.
I'm sure Bob McNair would be thrilled with this conversation.
Yeah, and I can tell you, we were talking about it. It's Ian Rappaport that had the initial story. Adam Schefter actually just tweeted and said, yes, the tests on site have shown that he did, in fact, tear it.
Yikes. Man. Well, let's we'll shift gears here, Nate. It sucks. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. It's a football story. It's a crappy football story. But we'll move into fantasy football, which kicks off tonight. The second half of the NFL season kicks off tonight with the Bills and Jets. And, Nate, it's been a – the trade deadline just passed. It's been a weird week. Jay Ajayi's got a new team. Ezekiel Elliott is suspended. Kelvin Benjamin has a new team. Are any of those big needle movers fantasy-wise? I mean, obviously Ezekiel Elliott is, but Jay Ajayi, Kelvin Benjamin, are either of those needle movers fantasy-wise?
Yeah, actually, I think that they are. I mean, I think that when you look at it on the surface, I think that the move for Kelvin Benjamin, you could argue, is somewhat lateral for him in terms of what his potential could be in terms of putting up fantasy points. But what I think it really does benefit is a guy like Tyrod Taylor, who has shown flashes at times of being able to put up points from a fantasy perspective, but maybe not consistently enough. And I think that so far this year, a lot of that has been tied to the fact that I don't know that he's really truly had, outside of Charles Clay, who's hurt, a good, solid receiving option. So I think that, there's a little bit of an echo effect here with that move, because I do think that, while it's not necessarily going to boost Kelvin Benjamin's numbers over what he would have had there with Carolina, there with Cam Newton, I think it really helps Tyrod Taylor. From Jay Ajayi's standpoint, I think that this is a strong move for him, in part because that Miami offense just kept showing us so much just head scratching insanity with what they'd been doing, that I think this is a good thing for him. You're talking about a guy who's top 15 from a running back standpoint in the league, but not scoring touchdowns, really not really getting it done in terms of giving you points every week. This is a much better opportunity. He's going to a stronger offense, obviously right now record-wise the best team in the NFC. Now, I will say that I think that you may want to debate a better option coming off of your roster this week going up against a Broncos defense that, their offense may be crap, but their defense is still performing well, especially against the run, and you're talking about the first week with the team. So this may not be the weekend that you want Ajayi, but I think going forward this is a really good play for him. And don't underestimate what Dwayne Brown, in terms of a tackle, is going to do to that Seattle team that, if you guys recall, we go back to, week one, week two that we were doing these segments, we talked about just how disheveled the Seattle offensive line looked. Well, they were starting to come together, and now you've added a really strong piece. And so I think that the better offensive performance that we've been seeing out of the Seahawks the last couple of weeks probably got a nice shot in the arm from a move that doesn't necessarily reflect immediately in fantasy, but definitely has some impact.
Hell, we could probably take that conversation back to last year.
Yeah.
Talking about that offensive line.
True. Okay. Very true.
Nate, on your thought on Jay Ajayi, would he slow down Carson Wentz at all, or compliment him?
I think he compliments him. I think that you are giving him. I mean, it's not like LeGarrette Blount or anybody's really been a hindrance to him per se. I think that really this is gonna add to it. I think frankly, Jay Ajayi is a guy that can catch the ball out of the backfield. I think that is something that benefits Carson Wentz as well. And if nothing else, we've seen some great numbers out of Carson. But I think we also needed to make sure, here we are going into week 9. There's a lot of season left. And I think that Philadelphia is going to benefit by having somebody that they can lean on a bit offensively and not make Carson Wentz continue to do it all himself.
Hey, Nate, the Bills and Jets are tonight. Kelvin Benjamin, a big acquisition for the Bills, who have been playing pretty well. But the Bills also have, in so many different statistics, the worst passing offense in the entire NFL. Are you buying this addition?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely am. I think it's something that's going to help him out. And that's where I think that, like I mentioned, Tyrod's going to get some help out of this without a doubt. And I think that you're talking about a good, big receiving option, something that they had with Sammy Watkins, who's obviously not there anymore. I do think that this benefits. And I think, back in Carolina, it also benefits a guy like Devin Funchess. I mean, Panthers are going to keep throwing the ball. This is an opportunity now for Kelvin Benjamin to get into an offense that I think really needs him, and they can actually shine a spotlight on him.
You know what, this injury to Deshaun Watson, not that he was a first-round pick, I don't know when people got him or picked him up off their waiver wire, but hey, we go back to this year, Aaron Rodgers, David Johnson, OBJ, you know, Beckham, the star level of players that are out. I know we all look at, hey, what pick do I have? I'm going to pick six. This is the guy I could get. I think it just shows you the brutal part of the sport, but also in drafting these, when you do draft your team, you kind of have to have depth because injuries are such a reality, and I just can't believe the amount of stars that are now out.
Yeah, you really do have to have some depth. You've got to be smart with what you're doing in terms of waiver wires. And, you know, I mean, I think it's always fun. There's always those trolls that get at me on Twitter when, you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, that good job on that first-round pick. Yeah, because I was somehow going to find out that he was going to, you know, tear his ACL,
sure.
You know, bowling with his buddies. I mean, you know, there's no way to predict that stuff. And I know people like to get after us on Twitter with those things. But you're right that, you know, the depth is needed and, you know, trying to pay attention to trends that happen throughout the year. And hopefully, you know, if you are, you know, not necessarily at the quarterback position with Deshaun, but when we talk about receivers that get hurt like OBJ, I think one of the things is if you've been smart and you've paid attention to, you know, hey, here's a receiver that, you know, has emerged as a number two for such and such team and he's actually, you know, occasionally shows up as a number one, I'm going to grab him and stash him. Well, you might not have played him for 2 or 3 weeks, but then suddenly when that injury happens, he's ready to jump into your lineup for you.
Nate Lundy, host of the Fantasy Football Hour, with us as he is each and every single Thursday at 2 o'clock here on The Lowdown. You know, you covered the Philadelphia aspect of the Jay Ajayi deal. What about Miami? That offense has been just atrocious. Their quarterbacks have been awful. Everything about them hasn't worked. Could this open up something for the running backs that they have there now? I think Damian Williams, and I think they have another running back there.
Yeah, in terms of Drake, what you're going to see there is truly an RBBC. Now, that's scary from a fantasy perspective, but I will say that that might be one of the best things that could happen for Miami is, you know, when you've got a Ajayi, you have to make sure your offense runs through that guy. I think of teams like Pittsburgh with Le'Veon Bell or David Johnson with Arizona before he got hurt. And I think that that's a great strength to have, but I do think that sometimes you can have an advantage as a team and as an offense with having that running back by committee, especially if the two guys are slightly different or you can utilize them in different ways. It keeps defenses guessing as opposed to having the same guy in the backfield all the time. So you may not see that necessarily lead to one of these guys being a must-own or a must-start for your fantasy team, but it could you know, benefit the overall offense. I think, you know, their bigger issue right now is, you know, they're still sitting back without without Ryan Tannehill, who is who they, you know, wanted to go through the season with, and instead they got stuck with Jay, I don't care, Cutler, and Matt Moore, who I'm an Oregon State grad, and I can't even defend my fellow alumni.
Nate, how about the other deal out here? The 49ers make some news adding Jimmy Garoppolo, and we have said all along there's probably not many plays for the 49ers, maybe Pierre Garçon if you wanted to, but what does his addition do for maybe the rest of the offense, any other guys, and then certainly him if you're, I don't know, looking to add to your bench because he may not be on anybody's roster right now.
Well, I think there's a couple things you got to look at. First of all, I think, you know, this is obviously a long-term play by John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan. I mean, the Garoppolo play, I know that Kyle mentioned in his presser, like, well, you know, we don't know if he's going to play this year. Well, I certainly hope that he does because I think you want to start to get him in there. Does that mean he plays this weekend? No. But I think you want to get him in there. Here's what I would do from a fantasy perspective. You know, A, I do think it benefits the guys around him, and I think they need some more offensive weapons. But Pierre Garçon, I've said before, I'll say it again, I think he's a ridiculously undervalued wide receiver in the NFL, let alone in fantasy. But here's what I would do. I think if you've got the bench spot, this is a guy you want to grab. And I know people may think I'm a little bit crazy saying that, but if you look at weeks 14, 15, and 16, which is when everybody does their fantasy playoffs, the 49ers would be playing the Texans, the Titans, and the Jags. Now, I know the Jags are a tough one because you're talking about right now the number one pass defense in the league. But those other two matchups in terms of the Titans and the Texans are very attractive for Garoppolo. And if he were to actually be playing by the time week 13 rolls around, he's got a game against the Bears. So, you know, San Francisco may not win a lot of games, but I think that Garoppolo has a lot of potential. I think that Kyle Shanahan, we saw it with Matt Ryan. I think there's a lot of potential for this offense to start to have some flashes. And so he may be somebody that you say, hey, I'm going to snag him, put him on my bench just in case things get interesting in the month of December.
One thing we always like to get from you, Nate, here as we look ahead to the week are your thoughts on some of the matchups. You pay a lot of attention to the over-unders. Which ones here in week 9 are really grabbing your attention?
Well, I think, unfortunately, the one that we would have been talking about had the last 20 minutes not happened would have been that Indianapolis-Houston game where Houston was a 14-point favorite. I'm sure that's going to wind up changing rather dramatically in Vegas, but that was one where it was going to be literally start every Texan you can possibly think of. And maybe even, like, if you're in a league, can you start, like, an assistant coach? I mean, that was going to be a matchup that you really wanted to favor. Now that's probably going to wind up changing. Tampa and New Orleans, I think that, you look at Alvin Kamara, and the way that New Orleans has been able to utilize him ever since they got rid of Adrian Peterson, that's a matchup I look at. We talk over-unders. That one sits at 50. And really, along with that Indy-Houston game, those were the two games, outside of Dallas and Kansas City that they were expecting a lot of points. I think Dallas does it. No, I'm not buying into Alfred Morris or Darren McFadden, so don't bother to ask me because I don't trust that backfield without Zeke in it. But I do expect a high-scoring game there on Sunday afternoon in Dallas. So those are some where I think you're going to see some offensive fireworks take place. And, to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised. The over-under isn't there, but it would not surprise me to see the Atlanta-Carolina game, one of the early games on Sunday, also turn into a bit of a shootout.
You know, when you said that about the Cowboys' backfield, I don't know. Most leagues allow you to put your guy in day of game. I don't know if some have it where, hey, tonight starts the week, you have to play Zeke or not. I mean, what would you do if you have Zeke? Just literally wait and see?
Yeah, I think unfortunately you've got to do that. But more importantly, this comes back to the question we were talking about just a few minutes ago about making sure that you've got some depth and try to give yourself some options. Yeah, most leagues are going to allow you to do that sort of hot change right there before kickoff. And so you can wait, whether it's because of an injury report or otherwise, you can wait as long as possible to get somebody into your lineup and make that switch. But hopefully what you're working on right now as we sit here on Thursday afternoon is you're thinking, okay, who do I want to make sure is on my bench and ready to go in case I need him? That's the smart thing to be doing here early and kind of midweek while you wait for Sunday to roll around.
Now, there's a possibility that someone in this room is 7-1 right now in their fantasy league. There's also a possibility that someone in this room has Ezekiel Elliott and Deshaun Watson and is on the verge of fantasy football tiers. Give that particular person,
who
maybe,
is that?
If that person exists, I'm not saying that they do, but they might. Whisper it to me. There's got to be someone hiding out there on the waiver wire that he's only on your team. He's not on anyone else's because that particular person's week may have just gone to hell.
Well, first of all,
or their season may have just gone to hell.
Yeah, the first word I would whisper to you is tequila. that's where we would start if that's your scenario. Here's what I'll tell you. The New York Giants without Janoris Jenkins, I'm not so sure that Jared Goff isn't a good sleeper pick this week. And there's not a lot of places where he's sitting in somebody's starting lineup, and in a lot of cases he's sitting on the waiver wire. So if you need some help from a quarterback perspective, that's a matchup that I think you can take advantage of. My co-host on the TV show, Brad Evans, believes that this might be the one week that you could get away with Jay Cutler as your quarterback.
Whoa!
And that's because of that matchup against Oakland and the fact that it's in Miami. He's not calling for Miami to win. All he's talking about is garbage time points. And maybe a little bit more creativity on the offense when they're trying to, as we talked about earlier, trying to incorporate this running back by committee. But Goff is a name that, again, the Giants have not had a great season as it is, and now you're talking about Janoris Jenkins in trouble with the team. Jared Goff, at least so far this year, when he's had a matchup that is a favorable one for the Rams, he's taken advantage of it. And so he could be somebody this weekend that could bail you out.
Someone check the temperature in hell.
Yeah.
Just see
Jay
if it's
Cutler
cooling down a little bit. Yeah.
Nate, this will maybe be two parts. At least we got someone that asked about T.Y. Hilton and what his outlook is looking going forward. But I also wanted to piggyback on that with the Colts and the news that Andrew Luck, if you were in a, let's say, a keeper league and you had someone like Andrew Luck who would be a great franchise piece to keep going forward, but he's not playing this year, what would you do with a guy like Luck in that scenario? And then, yeah, about T.Y. Hilton for the rest of the year.
Let's start with Andrew Luck. When it comes to a keeper league or things like that, obviously if you're not in a keeper league, drop him. You should be doing something else because obviously that doesn't do any good. If you are in a keeper league, I think that when it comes to Luck, my first question would be, what'd you pay for him? What's he going to cost you, et cetera, to keep going forward? And the second part would be, are you in a strong position in the league this year, and you need that roster spot to help yourself out? Because, you know, I think trying to be smart with keepers is great, but you can almost outsmart yourself sometimes. I've seen guys hold on to people, keep them on their bench, et cetera, and they've done it to the point where it's detrimental to their overall roster because they're just unwilling to drop somebody. I'm kind of one of those, like, live in the now and I'll figure out what I'm going to do next year. So unless you've got him just at a song to where you just can't give him up because you're keeping him at pennies on the dollar, I think you have to entertain whether or not that roster spot is worth it to you to push him to the side and make space. As for T.Y. Hilton, I mean, I've had a bad feeling about him all season long ever since we knew that Luck wasn't going to start, and that's just because they have such a good rapport. And I mean, Jacoby Brissett, okay, he's had some flashes, but it's still the Colts, and it's still not something that I can trust.
The top two texts here. There's a common theme here on the text line, but the first two right here say, did he say Jay Cutler? Oh, my God, I think I just saw a pig fly over my car. The other one says, luckily Jason already has Josh Gordon stored on his bench. That's actually a fact, Nate. You know, you may not know this about Jason, but Jason has no scruples when it comes to his fantasy football roster. He will draft every suspended player and just stick them
on
his bench. It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And here's the thing. If he gets reinstated and winds up playing, let's talk about your fantasy playoffs, weeks 14, 15, 16. You know who they're playing? The Packers, the Ravens, and the Bears. That's pretty darn good, man.
Who's throwing him the ball?
Well, I don't know. Maybe it's you.
It may very well be. And, you know, there's a common theme. I mentioned there's a common theme here, Nate, before we let you go. Are there players at this point, as we said, we're heading into the second half of the season here, Is it just time to give up on guys like, and I don't mean cut them, but maybe like start someone from the bench? The name that keeps coming up is Matt Ryan. Jameis Winston is another one. Are those guys, do you just have to go a different route if you have those two guys?
I think you always have to be willing to go a different route with guys based on matchups. There are very few guys in the league that are what we refer to as matchup proof, that are in your lineup no matter what. There are not a lot of those guys in any of the positions. However, you also know that, you know, it could at any point in time suddenly start to click for Atlanta or even click for Winston, because both of those guys have way too many weapons around them to stay down for too long. That doesn't necessarily mean you keep putting them in your starting lineup, but it does mean that you need to let them occupy some space on the bench, because if things start to click, you don't want to be kicking yourself for having dropped them.
Nate, we appreciate you as always, my friend.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much. Everybody enjoy the games this weekend. We'll talk next week.
Absolutely. Thanks, Nate. At Nate Lundy on Twitter, in case we didn't get your question answered. I tried to get to as many as we could. There were a lot of questions about Zeke. A lot of questions about Deshaun Watson came pouring in. I'm legitimately down. Like, this just put a complete halt on everything we were doing today. This NFL season hasn't been fun. I just don't feel like it has, but he has been.
Yeah.
He's been such a great...
add him to the list. I mean, Dalvin Cook, Aaron Rodgers, man. Beckham, Watt. I mean, star player, Edelman. Really good players.
Yeah. Yeah, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, Deshaun Watson out for the year. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings joins us next here on The Lowdown. Garrett Temple... Garrett Temple of your, I almost said Garrett Temple of the Lowdown. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento
Kings. He's of the Lowdown.
Indeed he is.
Yeah.
And he's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. The Browns are going to pay Brock Osweiler just shy of $900,000 to play for the Broncos this weekend.
The starting quarterback from the Broncos is getting paid by the Browns.
$900,000 this weekend.
Are they going to pay A.J. McCarron? By not getting him, by not acquiring him.
They might as well.
Yeah.
They might as well. Happy to bring in Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. Garrett, where are you guys right now?
We're in Boston. We're in Boston right now. I had an off day.
Okay.
Going to practice here tomorrow and then head out to Detroit.
Oh, wow.
What'd you do with your off day?
Relax, man. Played a little golf. Tried to take my mind off this basketball thing. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes you just got to get away so you can try to refocus.
Golf does that for you. Temperatures were okay to golf out there?
Yeah, it was like 65, 70 degrees, man, which is very odd for Boston in early November, so we took advantage of it.
You mentioned getting away, Garrett. Like, what else do you do besides golf? Do you have, like, music that you go to? Are you a book guy?
Yeah, I read a little bit. I may, you know, my chill music, I got a little chill playlist, a little Kenny G, you know what I'm saying, a little John Mayer sometimes. So I definitely do that as well. But, yeah, like I said, golf is one thing that I try to get to, just to get stay outside, get in nature, and just try to clear my mind.
You snickered at Kenny G.
I did a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not mad. No, I just didn't expect it.
That was unexpected.
Like, I my chill.
I got an old soul, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's all right. With it. I mean, my chill music is a little, you know, it's a little more like a Luther, or I wasn't expecting Kenny G.
I hate you.
It just caught me off guard. Are you a music before the game guy, or are you like more into silence?
No. I'm a music before the game guy. I listen to. I'm usually on my rap stuff. Maybe a little bit of. It depends on what's out. Right now, I'm listening to Lecrae. Right now.
Okay.
I'm liking his new CD. But it varies game to game. You know what I'm saying? But definitely, I definitely have to have some music while I'm in the locker room, getting in my zone.
So today, when you were out there golfing, getting your mind away from hoops, were you with anybody? Were you golfing with teammates or just kind of out by yourself?
Yeah, Vince and George Hill.
So who was the best?
Vince got me this round. You know what I'm saying? We've been trading punches back and forth the last couple of weeks. So he got me this round. G Hill just started playing, so we're trying to get him into the game.
Ah, okay.
The first college football playoff rankings came out this week. You're an LSU guy. Your alma mater's got a big game this weekend.
Yes, we have an amazing, very big game this weekend. You know, I was a little afraid for us after the first couple of weeks, and then losing to Troy. But we bounced back with two top 25 wins. And, you know, we got some confidence going into Bama, you know.
Are you a big,
I feel like we're going to win, personally.
Are you a big Ed O fan, Ed Orgeron, your coach?
Coach O is cool. Coach O is cool. I mean, I honestly would – I don't understand why we let go of Les.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the fans at LSU are – you know, we are who we are. You know, you kind of want perfection after Nick Saban did what he did, mm-hmm. and then you win another championship with Les. No, but I honestly think we should have kept him. But it is what it is. So I think we have the talent to still win, though. So if Coach O can motivate him like he did the last two weekends, we should have a chance to try to upset somebody.
You know, Garrett, Damian, and I love to talk about college football. I've been to a few venues. One of the places we've talked about is trying to get to LSU. It would be great to be there for a night game. What's that atmosphere like that's so famous,
man,
there at LSU?
It is crazy. I mean, I've been, you know, when I went on a few visits, I visited Oregon, I visited Baylor, I've been to a couple other SEC places in terms of football games, but nothing compares to, no place I've ever been has ever compared to LSU on Saturday night. And I obviously grew up going to those games since I was, you know, 6 years old, but even to this day still, you know, when I go out there, 100-something thousand people, When the team runs out the tunnel, you know what I'm saying, they're yelling and stuff, you still get chills, man, if you're a football fan at all. So that's one spot that y'all definitely need to go to, especially if it's a rivalry game like Alabama or an Ole Miss or something like that, SEC game Saturday night, y'all got to check it out, man.
Once upon a time, Knoxville used to be a fantastic place
yeah.
for football, but I'm afraid those days may have passed. Is college is there a lot of trash talk like in locker rooms or even across locker rooms when it comes to college sports?
Not really. I mean, it depends. Like we got a lot of guys when it comes to college basketball. You know, you have the teams like Kentucky that are always on the top, you know, and the Dukes and stuff. And then if your team isn't even in the running, you know, if y'all don't even have made the tournament in the last 5-10 years, then there's really nothing to talk about. Football-wise, myself and Trevor Booker used to always talk trash. Who are the real Tigers? Because he went to Clemson. And now that they actually are winning some games, now won a national championship and stuff, you know, now he has something to say. But honestly, it's not as much trash talk about, you know, in terms of colleges. And I think because guys are coming into the league so young now, they don't really have as much, you know, pride as they used to, as, you know, guys that stayed 3-4 years in college. So the guys are going to school for 5-6 months, and then, you know, so they don't really have as much school pride as older guys do.
Garrett, we were talking a lot about the World Series earlier. It was as good as it gets. Game 7 didn't have quite the drama of the rest. Did you get caught up in that, or did you have a preference on who won the World Series?
I did get caught up. I watched a couple of games. I watched the one that went to, I think it was 11 innings, 11 and 12 innings. I think it was game 2, and when Houston won. And I honestly wanted Houston to win because even though Chicago hadn't won in a long time, you know, they have a pretty storied history. I mean, not Chicago, L.A. They have a pretty storied history, the Dodgers do. And, you know, Houston being his first time in the World Series, I wanted them to come up. Go ahead. And actually, that's the closest team to my hometown. I'm not even claiming to be a baseball fan, but it was nice to see the Astros get a win. You know, and I didn't get to see game 7, obviously, but all the rest of the games were nail-biting. So it was great for baseball. This World Series was great for baseball.
You may not be a big baseball fan, but we know that you're a big football fan and you're a Saints fan, man. Even you, Garrett, as even though you're
Saints, they surprising me, man.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Man.
Even you got to be surprised.
It's like LSU. Now, put like my mom is a big-time sports fan in general. And when it comes to football, you know, she roots for LSU. She roots for the Saints. After the first 2 weeks, she's texting me and my brothers in our group chat. I don't even want to watch football anymore this year. We both, the LSU is sucking. The Saints are sucking. So then, obviously, we lost our first two games, the Saints, and then we run off 5 in a row. So I'm loving where we at right now. You know what I'm saying? The defense is playing a lot better. And obviously, Drew Brees putting up numbers, went into the record books again with 6,000 completions. So, you know, we doing our thing down there, man.
And I told you before, Garrett, got lots of family down there in New Orleans specifically, and their team that they it's Atlanta. That's the rivalry that's always been that way. Is that
yes,
do you feel that? Is that true?
Oh, no question. That's definitely the rivalry. And I think I was actually on. And I picked Atlanta to be the NFC champs this year. I was on some radio show, and I got a couple of people hitting me up.
I bet
you
did.
Almost in a death threat. But, you know, Atlanta is – I don't know what's going on with them right now. They're kind of an enigma. But, like I said, I'm loving how Saints are playing. Anytime the Falcons come, best believe there's going to be at least one fight. When they come here or – the Saints play in Atlanta. There's at least one fight at the stadium.
Well, you got Detroit on Saturday night. Garrett, what do you want your team to do to put these last three games out of their mind?
Yeah. We got Detroit playing against a couple of former teammates. Langston Galloway's out there and obviously Anthony Tolliver. But, you know, one thing we did well last night was come out with some energy. You know, three-point game after going in to the second quarter against a team that is known to come out early in the first quarter, especially at home. So that was good for us. But I think just, you know, trying to build on positive first quarters, just playing the right way. I think that's the biggest thing with a young team. You know, a lot of these guys don't even really know how to play the game yet in terms of, you know, making the right plays offensively and defensively, understanding reads. So just playing the right way is the biggest thing right now. And when we do that, you know, we haven't had a lot of shots to fall over the last 2-3 games. And that sometimes you go through those spells. But if you play the right way and take the right shots, eventually they'll start falling for us.
You know, Garrett, one thing we wondered about, would it be beneficial if, even if the rotation was trimmed down, but guys got more minutes, do you feel like you'd get more done in, I don't know, 30, 32 minutes, as opposed to a lot of guys playing anywhere from 18 to 25 or so?
I mean, that's up to the coach, you know. That's something that, I mean, we were told, you know, he let us know it was going to be a lot of 20-minute games and guys, because we have a lot of guys that we have to develop, a lot of guys that have to get on the court. So, you know, whenever you are out there, you have to try to produce. It's obviously a little different when you don't know exactly how many minutes you're going to get. But at the end of the day, you know, as pros, we're called upon to produce when we do play, no matter how long we're out there. So It may be a little easier to get a rhythm when you're out there. You know you're going to play 30, 32 minutes. But no matter what, like I said, you know, when you get out on the court, you got to try to produce no matter how long you're there for.
Garrett, I know we were all excited last year when the new arena was here. I mean, that was a big deal for Kings fans.
Right.
You guys are going to a new arena tomorrow as a player. Is it cool to be in a new arena in Detroit, or is it not that big a deal?
Nah, it's a big deal, you know. When you've been in the league 8-9 years, you know, seeing something new is going to be interesting. I've honestly never stayed in Detroit when we played in Detroit. I've always stayed on the outskirts, so it's going to be interesting to stay, you know, downtown Detroit and actually, you know, play down there. I want to see if the new arena, if the being built in downtown helps revive the city a little bit. And obviously, I want to see, you know, how nice it is if it's anywhere close to what we got in SAC. I'm looking forward to seeing how they did.
Garrett, we appreciate you joining us on your day off. What book are you reading right now?
Right now, I'm reading a book called White Power, Black Wealth.
Okay. We share a lot of the same interests, so I'm writing this down so I can take a look at that.
It's by Claude, I forgot, a doctor, I forgot his last name, but it's pretty good right now.
All right. We'll take a look at that. Garrett, we appreciate your time. Enjoy the rest of the day off, and good luck Saturday night against the Pistons.
Appreciate it.
All right. That is Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings right there. A couple people on the text line wondering why we approached that interview the way that we did. We'll explain. Del Christie's going to join us in 15 minutes. We'll explain what's going on the rest of the day next on the Lowdown. Wow.
Well done.
Yeah, was not prepared for that.
No, I wasn't either.
If you missed Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings just joined us. And if you didn't get the gist of what we were trying to do there, the Sacramento Kings have gotten their ass kicked for 3 straight games. Dude, it was their day off.
Tell us why.
Yeah, like, come on,
What's
man.
What's wrong?
Like, Garrett is with us every week.
Yeah, we'll get plenty of time for that.
He provides plenty of insight when we talk to him. But Jason and I were talking before the show, like, what are we going to ask
Not
him?
Today.
Like, you're losing by 20-something points. Like, let's get to know Garrett Temple a little bit. Like, I was not expecting him to say his chill music is Kenny G. Just wasn't prepared for that at all. I don't know why.
Visual.
It feels so cheesy. Like, and there's nothing wrong with it. You put that music back up.
It sounded good.
I could chill to that.
Yeah.
It's just sometimes you get hit with something unexpected.
Yeah, and that was definitely one of them.
That was unexpected. By the way, the book that he was telling us about was actually called Black Labor, White Wealth. That's the name of the book Garrett Temple is reading right now. So we learned a bit. I do love this. As we were talking to Garrett, though, he totally perked up when we mentioned LSU.
Oh, that's serious stuff.
Absolutely it is. But that's pride, too. And I didn't think about that as, you know, because players used to trash talk, right, with their colleges, whether it was football, basketball, whatever the case may be. He brought up such a good point. Kids, these guys are in school for a couple months.
Yeah.
A couple months.
Right.
Some are there for a couple of months. Like, you know, I guess I don't know that you develop pride for a school that you go to for a few months and then you leave as much as you would if you go for a couple of years, two, three, four years.
Yeah. And it just a little perspective, though, from him.
But we did bring in a little bit of where the Sacramento Kings are, what they've been doing, what he expects from them moving forward. And it's been a tough go, you know, since the Washington, you know, they've lost 6 straight games. They've gotten just blown out the last 3 games, and I know my frustration with the Kings has been not entirely the way that they're playing, but looking around and seeing how well Orlando's playing and how well, strangely enough, that Phoenix is playing. They beat Washington last night.
Yeah.
Seeing the Kings not be able to just grab that game where it's like, all right, good, we have that. You know, we beat Dallas, who was – I think they have the same record that the Kings do at this time.
Yeah, and I think what's interesting is I'm glad he said what he said because we didn't get into a lot of basketball, which was totally fine. But he said, yeah, no, we're pretty alert that coaches said there's going to be a lot of 20-minute games and we're trying to develop players. And it's like, all right, as long as there's transparency to the players, they don't know it to us to tell us what they're doing. As long as they know, all right, they're well aware of it. And he said, yeah, maybe you can get in a little more rhythm if you play some more minutes, but that doesn't mean you can't get something done right in your minutes that you get.
Well, I know Doug has his feelings on the way the Sacramento Kings are playing. Of course, I'm talking about Doug Christie. Doug will be with us at 3. We're going to stick around for a couple of more hours. Doug Christie is going to join us in about 8 minutes, top of the 3 o'clock hour, just like he, you know, his show, Doug Christie's show. He'll be with us at 3. We're just going to stick around for a little while. We're going to take you all the way up to the Bills and Jets as week 9 of the NFL season kicks off tonight, man. And it kicked off with just an absolute bummer. If you haven't heard yet, Deshaun Watson tore his ACL non-contact injury at practice today. And obviously, he tore his ACL. He's out for the season.
Yeah, there was an early hope because they said he may have. They're doing MR. They quickly knew.
Doctors feel.
Yeah, they
like
know.
They just,
and
they
it
just,
sound like he knew.
They know how to check the ACL. They know how to check the Achilles pretty quick. And that's what – you can get rulings on the court. Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah,
sorry.
That fast.
It's
sadly.
Out.
What a year he was having. And it's just one of the game's great young prospects and players. And I don't doubt that he'll return and go through all – but that's not fun for him. That organization has had some brutal injuries this year. They've done a nice job of kind of recovering from the J.J. Watt injury. Now this one, someone they could really get excited about, an area of weakness for their team. They make a trade to get a guy that they think can be a guy. Then they play him, and he does exactly what you hope he would be, and only to have his season end up short. That's really too bad.
Couple of texts here, yeah. It shocked us. Like, it put a complete halt on everything we were doing, man. We were having fun talking about the Astros. We had Jessica Mendoza on today. Had Nate, you know, right before we had Nate Lundy on is when we found out about that news. And it just as a football fan, it was a kick to the stomach. We'll get Doug Christie's thoughts on that when he joins us here in just a few minutes. Couple of texts here on the text line. And we'll open up the phone lines as well. We've had guests for this entire hour. So we'll get back to phones at the top of the 3 o'clock hour as well. Some texts here at 44-1140. I only listen to Kenny G when I'm in an elevator. I'm not mad at Kenny G.
I'm not either.
Again, it just surprised me. I like the Temple interview. It was always cool to hear a little personal texture.
Thank you.
Plus, what would you have add? What would the point have been to add to the current debacle that is our season?
Ouch.
No. Yeah, I mean.
We'll have time for that. Every week we talk to him.
Yeah, and I just don't know what there is to say after games like this. You know, we say that after the Washington game, it's really hard to talk about games like that because how much can you take away from it? But then it happens again.
And
like,
again.
Okay, now it's not even about the game anymore. We're not talking about individual games. We're talking about the team as a whole. And if we continue to see, you know, these, as Garrett noted right there, the team has been told, there's going to be a lot of that. As a veteran, and this is a question we'll pose to Doug when he gets here, is that a good thing?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is, you know, spreading the wealth of minutes, is that good? Can you develop, you know, because he used that word. He said we got a lot of guys that need to develop out there on the floor. Well, can you? Can you develop with that limited amount of minutes you're playing? In some cases, less than half the game.
Yeah, certainly Doug will be able to answer that better than I could. I just wonder about what that can be, how they can do it. But what I do appreciate is you have to be honest about it. And if long as that's coming down from the organization, you may not like it, but at least there's some honesty there. That's important to me.
Well, let's step out here for a minute, Jay Ross. Let's hit the reset button. Doug Christie's going to join us next. We got 2 more hours, an extended version. It's the director's cut of the lowdown here on Sports 1140.